For he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. That 29th verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Thank you. You may have your seats. Eternal God, we thank you for this moment. Now, God, we ask that you will crystallize this moment in the ministry of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the songs that stir our spirit, the words of scripture that give us strength, sweet communion of your Holy Spirit. But God, right now, touch this feeble, frail, finite preacher on every leaning side and prop me up. Let your people see thee and not me. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my most blessed Redeemer. Amen. I want to ask that you will pray with me for this few minutes on the subject. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Beloved, Psalm 118 is a part of that body of sacred songs in our Bibles called the Egyptian Hallel Hymns. Hallel, H-A-L-L-E-L, Egyptian Hallel Hymns. Hallel Hymns are from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. Those are the Hallel Hymns from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118, and they commemorate God's deliverance of God's people from slavery in Egypt. These hymns are sung in Jewish homes every year during the great festivals like the Festival of Tabernacles, the Festival of Weeks, and the Passover Festival. Beloved, Hallel means to praise. Hallel means to praise. And when you add Lu-Yah onto it, it means praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These are praise hymn in the first two psalms, in fact, in this group of Hallel hymns, Psalm 113 and Psalm 114, are sung every year during the Jewish festivals of Tabernacles, Weeks, and Passover. The first two hymns are sung before the Passover meal, and the other four hymns are sung after the Passover meal. In fact, Jesus sang one of these last four hymns when the scripture says they went out singing a hymn into the Mount of Olives. And many believe that it was this very hymn, Psalm 118, that our Lord lifted up as he and his disciples went out into the night. On this Palm Sunday, I would like to examine the theme of Psalm 118 as it is a part of this sacred tradition of the Jewish and Christian church. Verse 26 of Psalm 118 is the verse that the people recited on Palm Sunday in the scripture as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. The people shouted, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This psalm has some very familiar verses that have become an important part of our spiritual devotion verses. Like verse 8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than confidence in people. I know that's right. Verse 17 says, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Verses like 22 that says, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the chief stone. Verses like verse 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And verses like 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And then there's the verses that open and close this great hymn. Verse 1 and verse 29, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. The psalmist opens up each of these Hallel hymns with praise to the Lord, and the psalmist closes each hymn from 113 to 118 with praise unto the Lord. Wait a minute though. In Psalm here, the psalmist writing, and in the first century when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the people were under oppression. What did they have really to give thanks for? When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the people that were shouting thanks were being rocked by a rough reality from the Romans. The Romans had their foot on the necks of God's people. In the time of the Psalms, the people were living under oppression. Yes, God had gotten them out of Egyptian bondage, but that was hundreds of years before the Psalms was writing, and now they are back under oppression. What do they have to give thanks for? How do you give thanks when everything around you is ungrateful, unappreciative, and thankless? It is like trying to stand up straight in a crooked room. Freddie Haynes on last Wednesday used an illustration from Melissa Harris Perry's latest book, Sister Citizen. Professor Perry cited a post-World War II cognitive psychology experiment of our government where people were placed in a crooked room and asked to sit in crooked chairs at a crooked table, and then they were asked to try to stand up straight. And that's what it is like living in America for poor black and brown folk. It is like a crooked situation when the life expectancy of a person can be determined by the zip code they live in. It is a crooked situation when jails are being built by corporations based on the third grade test scores of black and browns in those same zip codes. It is like a crooked situation when women's reproductive rights and Planned Parenthood can be trampled upon and taken away by wealthy white men. It is a crooked situation when a 17-year-old young black male whose pants were up, never had been in trouble, was minding his own business, is murdered by a southern racist who is still roaming free, and the police department are doing a smear campaign on this boy's reputation, and he is dead, and his family are still grieving because they have not had time to get over the grieving. It is a crooked situation when a black female, Rekia Boyd, can be murdered by an off-duty cop in Chicago, or of the black females who have been murdered, but they don't get the attention from the community, the news media, or anybody else, that a murdered black male would get. How do you stand in a crooked situation? How do you walk right in a crooked system? And how do you give thanks while suffering under crooked conditions? First of all, the psalmist suggests, look at God's resume. You know what a resume looks like, don't you? Look at God's resume in this Psalm 118. The psalmist lifts up God's resume. You know how a resume looks, don't you? A resume, you put the name at the top. And the psalmist calls God's covenant name Yahweh, or Jehovah. Can I call God's covenant name Jehovah? Jehovah Jireh. Anybody know that the Lord is a provider? Jehovah Rapha. Anybody know that the Lord is a healer? Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Sitkanu. Jehovah Shalom. God's name is also El Shaddai, El Elyon, and the Ancient of Days. If I were to go to theological school where the intellectuals are moving about among all of the high cacalaria, then I might say God is like Rudolf Otto's Mysterium Tremendum. Mysterium means that God is mysterious. Old folks say that God moves in mysterious ways. His wonder to perform. Rudolf Otto says that God is Mysterium Tremendum. God is mysterious, and God is both fearful and mysterious. But Rudolf Otto also says that God is Mysterium Fascinon. God is not only mysterious, but God is awe-inspiring. God is fascinating. God will blow your natural mind if you let God. Aristotle called God the unmoved mover, the uncaused causer. Karl Barth called God the holy other. Dolores Williams would call God the survivor God, because if you're suffering and struggling in some uneven journeys in life, God will help you survive and thrive during your suffering. James Cone called God the God
not of the oppressed, but since I'm in Trinity UCC Gary, let me go old school. God is hot fixer. God is mind regulator. God is the good shepherd. God is the great I am. God is a lawyer in a courtroom. God is a doctor in a sick room. God is a mother for the motherless. God is a father for the fatherless. God is a friend who sticks closer than a brother or a sister. The psalmist said, look at God's resume, and at the top of the resume, you've got the person's name, but you know, you go a little farther down, you've got to have some experience in that resume. And God, beloved, has some very impressive experiences. God is the one who lifts the sun above the eastern horizon, and God is the one who put that same sun to bed below the western borderline. God is the one who put the twinkle in the stars. God is the one who put the puff in the cloud. God put the blue in the background called sky. God is the one who put the wet in the water, the buzz in a bee, the blush in a rose. And God put the sweet in the honey. God is the one who told the ocean, this far you will go and no farther. God is the one who put the magnificence in the mountain. And God is the one who guides the mighty eagle across the pathless sky. God has some very impressive experiences in God's resume. But lastly, every resume not only has the name and not only has the experiences, but every resume has some references. You got to put some people's name down that can vouch for you. People who will vouch for your veracity. And I think I got some references in here right now who can vouch for God. Somebody knows that God is a healer because you've been sick. Somebody knows that God is a deliverer because you got caught up in some mess and didn't know you could get out. Somebody knows that God will turn what others meant for evil and turn it around into good. Somebody else knows that God will set a table before you and will wait for your enemies to RSVP to that table before everybody starts eating, because God has some references in here today. How do you stand up straight in a crooked situation? How do you walk right in a crooked system? And how do you give thanks while suffering in crooked condition? The psalmist suggests, first of all, check out God's resume. But secondly, the psalmist gives us some reasons that we can give God the thanks and praise today. Psalmist says, oh, give thanks. But not just give thanks for anything or anybody. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because even in the crooked nightmare you are going through, God is still good. Somebody say, God is good. You have got to remember that this crooked situation was created by crooked people to cut you down, cancel you out, and crush you. But God, somebody say, but God. God has been keeping you, and if God is keeping you, then you know you have been kept. God, beloved, is still good. You still have another day. You still have another chance, and guess what? You are still here. Why? Because God is still good. Politicians wanted to invalidate your validity. Corporations want to incapacitate your viability, and negative people want to impeach your virtue, but God, somebody say, but God. God ensures your victory. God enabled your voice. Yet we can give thanks to God because God is still good. Anybody in here besides me knows that God is still good. I don't care what you are going through. I don't care what's on you. I don't care who is against you. Look at yourself in the mirror today and then kiss yourself, because you are God's handiwork. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has kept you around because you are precious to God. God is still good. We can give thanks. We got some reasons to give thanks. We got a reason to give thanks because God is good. Yet we can give thanks also because of God's steadfast love. Hey, steadfast love. The word here in the Hebrew, steadfast love of God, it's called Hesed, H-E-S-E-D. It's called Hesed, God's steadfast love. God's steadfast steadfast love. In other words, the word means God's loving loyalty. God is loyal. Other people ain't loyal. I know that's right. People are not loyal. They'll say they're loyal, but they ain't loyal. But God, beloved, is loyal to you and to me. God is loyal. God sticks with us, whether in good times or bad. God is loyal. In fact, God stands with us when we willfully take missteps. God stands with us even when we make mistakes. And God stands with us when we make a big mess. And that's the big one, y'all. People will say they are standing with you when times are going good, when everything is going all right, when the sun is shining in your life. But you mess up one time, you make a mistake one time, and folk will be going to talking about you. They will not stand with you. Oh my goodness, don't you get caught up with drugs. Don't you go to jail. Don't you mess around and have some infidelity in your marriage. Don't you fool around, because folk are not loyal to you. But God is loyal even when you mess up. I'm not coming through like I want to, so I got to pull an episode out of the backyard of my own life. When I was about 6 or 7, visiting my grandparents in Chattanooga, Tennessee, my grandmother had what looked like chocolate candy on the dining room table. Little wrappers of something shiny, cellophane. And she told me, "Now don't you mess with that there, Johnny, because that ain't to be messed with." I said, "Grandmama, it looked like candy. I want a little candy, a little chocolate candy." She said, "Boy, that is not chocolate candy. Don't you mess with it, boy." Grandmama went on to the backyard and did her humming and pulling stuff out of the garden. And little Johnny, me, all in the house, I had my mind on that chocolate candy. I knew Grandmama loved me, and Grandmama always gave me what I wanted. So why would Grandmama mean not to give me this? Now, I knew Grandmama had to have made a mistake, because she loved me. Anytime I wanted something, Grandmama would give it to me. So I just figured that Grandmama lost her mind or something of who I was. And I said, "I'm going to give me a little bit of that candy on the dining room table." So I went and got one, and it tastes good to me, Reverend Bonado. I got another one, Charles, because that one started tasting real good to me. I ate about 4, 5, 6, 7 pieces of that little candy. Now, when I was young, they would dress me in these short pants and tall socks, and I'm walking around having fun in the front yard. Then got my candy. It was good. And some round about a half hour later, started rumbling in my stomach, and I started feeling funny. I started feeling like wait a minute now, what's going on? And next thing I knew, I'm running to the bathroom. Unfortunately, I didn't make it. And stuff started running all down under my shorts, on my legs. All of this mess is just running down, and I get to the bathroom too late. Grandma comes in there and hears me hollering and crying, "What you done, boy?" Just like God walking in the cool of the evening. "Where are you, Adam? What happened to you, Eve?" And Grandmama comes in and looks at me and says, "Boy, you done made. I told you, Grandmama loves you. I told you not to mess with that stuff. It wasn't candy." Now let me show you something. My uncle, whom I named after also, John, he comes in and looks at, "Ooh, you stinky, stinky, stinky." My uncle wasn't loyal, but guess what Grandmama did? Grandmama didn't chastise me, and Grandmama didn't whoop me. Grandmama got the rag and ran some water and began to clean my mess up, telling me, "Baby, I love you." Grandmama wouldn't do anything that hurt you. Grandmama loves you so much. When I tell you something, I'm telling it to you for your good. You are such a beautiful baby, and Grandmama don't want nothing to happen to you. That's what God does. God's steadfast love will not only clean you up when you make a big old mess, but God's love will clean up the city. Wait a minute. We got some folk acting all holy on me. Somebody in here done made a mess of your financing, funding fake friends and buying stuff with you don't need, with money you don't have, to impress folk that you don't even like. somebody else that messed up their marriage because some husband was out late at night playing poke her, and some wife was listening to her girlfriends, and you done messed up your marriage. Somebody messed up in school. Somebody else messed up their body by drugging and drinking and promiscuous sex. Everybody in here done messed up every now and then, but God is so good. God's love is steadfast that God reached down and cleaned you up in your mess when everybody else walked away from you. God, like my grandmama, took the rag of righteousness and the water of purification and just rubbed your body down and made you clean so it don't even look like you've been in a mess now. Anybody know that God's steadfast love is a love like no other love? Do you know that God loves you more than anybody else can love you? You are precious to God, and God's love is loyal.
Psalmist gives us some reasons that we can give thanks. What a mighty God we serve. God also, the psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, not only because God is good, not only because of God's resume, but ultimately, how do you stand up straight in a crooked situation? How do you walk right in a crooked system? How do you give thanks while suffering in crooked conditions? The psalmist suggests that not only look at the resume and the reasons, but give thanks because of the relationship. Say relationship. God has initiated a relationship with you and with me. We didn't initiate it. God initiated the relationship. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means everybody, God initiated this relationship with us, beloved. How do you walk right? How do you give thanks? God initiated this relationship. Is about an unbreakable bond. A bond is like a marriage. It resembles a marriage. A marriage resembles a circle. A circle is something that has no beginning and has no ending. God's steadfast love endures forever. It has no beginning. It has no ending. God doesn't have the if clauses on God's relationship with us. God doesn't say, if you do this, then I will, like some of us do. If you agree with me, then I will be your friend. God's relationship is like a circle, perfectly round. No beginning and no ending. But God's love, God's relationship is also like precious metal, like gold. Gold is a metal that will never fade or tarnish with time. God's love is like precious metal, like gold. It will never fade and it will never tarnish with the passing of time. Many people's love for you, it will fade as time goes on, and you all will not stay connected after all the stuff you said about how you all are bonded together. Many people will their love will tarnish. It will fade. They will grow tired of you, because even though they say that, even family at time will fade away from you, but God's love will never change, is what I'm saying. It endures forever. Somebody say forever. God, it's like a marriage. We can give thanks because that loyal love of God lasts always. Or as the psalmist says, it endures forever. The word endure means tolerate. God will tolerate your stuff. God, that word endure means to bear up.
to hang in there for the long haul, to carry on through whatever ups or downs in the relationship, to have the fortitude to stay in the relationship and stand with one another. That's what a marriage is supposed to be like. But in these postmodern days, we believe the Hollywood foolishness and other foolishness from people that say, well, you can get your escape hatch and get out. We don't want to stand in relationships and work through stuff anymore. That's why we find ourselves with so many fake friends around us who laugh in our face, but who laugh behind our backs, but pamper us in our face. We have so many people around us who are not have our best interest at heart, because people change, but God never change. God's love endures forever. God's loyal love lasts. It endures. Well, that's what relationship is all about, and that's what God's love is all about. Let me read the words, the wise words of another poet, another psalmist, to illustrate this last point about God's everlasting, enduring, forever love. The poet says, as around the sun the earth knows she's revolving, and the rosebuds know to bloom in early May, just as hate knows love's the cure, you can rest your mind assured that God says, I'll be loving you always. As now can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing will grow older every day, just as all is born is new. Do know what I say is true. God said, I'll be loving you always. Did you know that true love asks for nothing? Her acceptance is the way we pay. Did you know that life has given love a guarantee to last through forever and another day, just as time knew to move on since the beginning, and the seasons know exactly when to change, just as kindness knows no shame, know through all your joy and pain that God will be loving you always. As today I know I'm living, but tomorrow could make me the past, but that I mustn't fear, for all I know deep in my mind, the love of me I've left behind, because God will be loving you always. We all know sometimes life's hate and troubles can make you wish you were born in another time and space, but you can bet your lifetime that and twice as double that God knew exactly where he wanted you to be placed. So make sure that you say when you're in it, you're not of it, you're not helping to make this earth a place sometimes called hell. Change your words in the truth, and then change that truth into love, and maybe our children's grandchildren and their great-great-grandchildren will tell that God will be loving you always. Until the rainbow burns the stars out in the sky, God will be loving you always. Until the ocean covers every mountain high, God will be loving you. Until the dolphin flies and parrots live in the sea, God will be loving you. Until we dream of life and life becomes a dream, I'll be loving you. Until the day is night and night becomes the day, God will be loving you. Until the trees and seas shut up and fly away, I'll be loving you. Until 8 times 8 times 8 is 4, God will be loving you. Until that day there are no more, God will be loving you. Until that day that the earth starts turning right to left, until the earth just from the sun denies itself loving you, until dear Mother Nature says her work is true loving you, until that day that you are me and I am you, God says I will be loving you. Now ain't that love? Ain't that love? Can anybody give thanks for a love like that? God will love you forever, forever.
forever. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, God will be loving you. Now ain't that loving you, baby? Say yes, yes, yes. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for all that the Lord has done. Has the Lord done anything for anybody in here? Has the Lord picked you up and turned you around? Set your feet on solid ground. Has the Lord been good? Has the Lord been good? Ain't he been good? Did the Lord dry your tears? Did the Lord bless your life? Did the Lord make a way? Did he give thanks to the Lord? Ain't he alright? Ain't he alright? Ain't he alright? Say yes, 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 yes. Say yeah like you really mean it. Give thanks to the Lord. Come on, stand on your feet all over the sanctuary. Come on, let's give thanks to the Lord. For all he has done. Somebody knows the Lord has been good. The doors of the church are open. His invitation is to you. Will there be one? Hey, yeah.
For him, thanks.
Yeah, that's it.
To the Lord.
Will there be one? This invitation is to you.
He has done. For him, thanks. To the Lord. For him,
thanks. Left, front, back, and you accepted Jesus as Lord and ask him, are you active in the church? If they answer no, ask him, can I walk you down? Come on, y'all look at me. All right, y'all over hand, you got folk on here. Ask him, come on,
either way.
Will there be one? Anybody been encouraged? Anybody been inspired? Come on, give God the praise like you really mean it. Come on, give God the glory. For it all belongs to God. The glory all belongs to the Lord.
just before we get ready to disperse, deacons, you need to meet a few minutes right after service, right up here, deacons, right after service. For our guests, after the benediction and the call, amen. Go ye now in peace. Ask that you will hold your places just for a brief few moments as we will be sent into a new week on the wings of the musical meditation. Oh, give thanks, church. You can give thanks in a rough reality. You can give thanks even with the milky malaise of misery clouding your way. You can give thanks. Why? Because God is still good. You are still here. And you still have another chance. That's something to give God thanks for. Nobody can give you another chance but God. You give thanks when you look at the Lord's resume. Just start calling God's name, and that'll be enough to give God thanks. God is Jehovah Jireh. God is Jehovah Nissi, our banner. God is Jehovah Shalom, our peace. God is Jehovah Rapha. God is a healer. You just look at his resume, and then you see God's experiences. God has some very powerful experiences. God is the one who superintends the universe, and God governs the universe of your very body as well as God governs what goes on in the microbes, in the dust of the... God has some very powerful experiences, and then God got some references. All you got to do, if you feel like you ain't a good enough reference, just look at your neighbor right now. Look at your neighbor. That's a reference. Y'all looking at me. Look at your neighbor. Come on, turn on either side, and you see a reference to vouch for God's veracity. The psalmist said, you can give thanks because you can look at God's resume. Psalmist also gives some reasons that we can give thanks for. God not only is good, but God's steadfast love. God is loyal. God has a loyal love. And that love will stay with you even when you mess up and clean you up. God love also, there is this relationship aspect. God initiated a relationship with you and me. The relationship part. God's love endures forever. You know what forever means? Forever. God ain't gonna stop. Forever. So I leave you with the prayer of Aaron on this day, this Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem to demonstrate God's love. This is the Lord's day, y'all. Act like it's the Lord's day. In everything you say, do, and think, on this day, Jesus rode into Jerusalem to die. For others, it was happy. But for Jesus, there was a cross. For you and for me. Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon each and every one of you and give you his most perfect peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. forgot to mention all those whose birthday is in April, please. There's a meeting in the center room in Wright Hall. Please gather there. God bless you and have a wonderful Palm Sunday and Holy Week.